May I say that I am very happy to be here. I had some doubts a few times that I was going to be able to make it when I was having some problems with after the surgery. But gradually, one day I said to my wife, I said, I believe I turned a corner today. And I've turned a few since then. And I'm not even sure about what I turned a corner today, especially with my eating. I enjoyed my meal tonight and ate more than I've eaten since I had surgery. And so, but I want to thank all of you here and from other places who have remembered me in your prayers during these last 2 months. It was a very difficult surgery. It's not easy to have your bones notched out and something driven in with a hammer after they put some glue on it. But the Lord's given me strength, and I'm coming along real well. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. And I was sitting over there thinking a few moments ago, Brother Mike was preaching. I spent 13 and a half years teaching seminary in Illinois, and sometimes it got to be tiresome. But an occasional student like this one makes it worthwhile. And there have been more than an occasional one, but not all of them would I be proud of. But I rejoice tonight. And by the way, if any of you preachers haven't read Lectures to My Students, you ought to get the book and read it. If you don't read anything else in it, read the one on two things needed by every preacher, a blind eye and a deaf ear. That was worth the price of the whole book to me. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. One of the things that I will point out near the end of my first division of the message tonight is that preterists have hotly contested the date of the writing of the book of Revelation because they know that if it was written after 70 AD, it blows their whole system. Tonight, my subject is preterist or futurist. I'm not a preterist. If you let me define it, I am a futurist. You say, well, why do you say that? Because some, not necessarily futurists, define it in a way that I don't accept. I'll deal with that a little bit later. But I am a futurist. I believe that the prophecies of the book of Revelation and many of the prophecies of the New Testament and the Old Testament are yet future. Webster's new universal unabridged dictionary gives the following definition of a futurist. When the word is used in theological matters, it is a person who maintains that the prophecies in the apocalypse or revelation will be fulfilled in the future. And from that definition, I agree. Notice that the definition specifically refers to the prophecies in the book of Revelation. You say, why do you emphasize that? Sometimes one who does not consider himself to be a futurist, even if he's not a preterist, will include all things in Revelation, not just the prophecies. I was surprised. I read after one man who said that a futurist believes that all things in the book of Revelation are yet to be fulfilled. Well, My text clearly declares that not to be true. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So, it's very clear that there are things that had already happened, and there were things that were going on at that particular time that were not future. One prominent writer, after who I've read, who was a strong postmillennialist, said that a future believes that all the things in the book of Revelation are yet to be fulfilled. Now, to his credit, he later made a statement that just covered the prophecies, so I would have to believe that he probably made a slip of the pen when he wrote it earlier. It's clear from our text that all things in the book of Revelation were not future at the time that it was written. Much less are they all future today. Brother B.H. Carroll, who was, the champion of postmillennialism in the Southern Baptist Convention, made this statement about futurists. And I quote, if we adopt the futurist theory, then we will not believe that there has ever yet been in this world a kingdom of God, nor will there be except as an ideal until Christ comes. I don't know if Brother Carroll intentionally misrepresented, but I'll tell you, as far as being a futurist, he misrepresented what I believe. A kingdom speaks of rule. And I cannot believe that God is sovereign and that He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth and has been doing that from the creation till now. I cannot help but believe He has had an everlasting dominion. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar said at the end of his period of insanity. He said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes. This is Daniel 4, 34 and 35. Lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Psalm 10 and verse 16 says, the Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. From the time that God spoke this world into existence, He has been its sovereign ruler and king. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Psalm 136 verse 5 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. Now, the fact that God has always had a kingdom, does now have a kingdom, does not preclude or forbid or prevent His having a future visible kingdom on this earth, over which Christ will reign for a golden 1,000 years. Now we must deal with the subject before us. Preterist or future? What is a preterist? Until a few years ago, I had never heard of preterism. I don't know how I'd missed it. It's been around a while. And there's a certain degree of preterism in other groups, such as postmillennialists and so forth. But what is a preterist? And I want you to know I'm being honest with you tonight. because some of this is going to sound incredible. When Brother Justus wrote his article on preposterous preterism, he said it right. As in the area of as in any area of biblical interpretation, there are variations of the preterist view. In fact, if you will notice, the further out people get on tangents, the more varied the views will be. When people spiritualize that which is literal, the more varied the views will be. I won't call any names, except I'll tell you, Brother Lee is telling on the way up here, he was talking to a brother, and he said something about the eight apostles. He talked on a little bit, and he said something about the 15 apostles. And he talked on a little bit, and he used some other number. And this brother said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, well, 1,000 years is spiritualized, 12 is spiritual. I have every right to say that there's 15 apostles. Or that there were 8 apostles. And that's the problem with over-spiritualizing. I will set forth some of the major tenets of preterists without dealing with all of their differences. First of all, a preterist believes that all the prophecies of God and His Word have been fulfilled. There's nothing else to be fulfilled. A preterist believes that at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the prophecies surrounding end time events were all fulfilled. They believe, and I'll give you some of the things that are related to these end time events and what they believe. According to the preterists, the second coming of Jesus Christ was secretly fulfilled in 70 AD, and we should not be watching for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, looking for that blessed hope, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll mark that off. We're not supposed to be looking for it. It's already happened, according to the preterists. According to the preterists, Revelation 1:7 could not be true. In that verse, John writes, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. According to the preterists, the resurrection of the saints and the unsaved took place in 70 AD. And so I guess we need to quit using Paul's comforting words in 1 Thessalonians. When he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Don't use that in a funeral anymore, brethren. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. Happened in 70 AD, according to the preterists. Now, you realize when I'm making these recommendations, I've got my tongue stuck way over here in my cheek. According to preterists, the judgment took place in AD 70. So there's no future judgment of the righteous and the wicked. So throw away all your sermons on the white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. And look around you, folks. Because according to the preterist, we are now in the new heaven and the new earth. I was telling Brother Lee and Sister Lee that on the way up here, and she said, "I'm disappointed. I expected more." You see, the Bible says, "And I saw Revelation 21, 1 through 5, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Listen to this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." If I understand the preterist view from what I've found on their own websites and from others that have researched their doctrine, God's already wiped all tears from our eyes. According to the preterist, there's no more death. When I was studying this, I thought, well, that sounds like Christian Scientists, which is neither Christian nor scientist, nor scientific. According to the preterist, there's no more sorrow. According to the preterist, there's no more crying. And according to the preterist, there's no more pain. I wish I'd have known that before I had this surgery. Well, I sure thought my knees were hurting badly. So much so that 3 weeks before I left Thailand, I had already made up my mind to have that surgery. I didn't have my mind made up before that, but I had a problem that developed, and I hurt badly for the last 3 weeks I was over there. And I had my mind, when I got home, my wife said, "Well, what are you going to do about the knee surgery?" I said, "I'm going to have it." I thought I was in pain. Preterists have also hotly contested the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, placing it before 70 AD. While writers much closer to that time, such as Irenaeus and others, said that John's exile to Patmos took place near the end of the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian, which would have placed John's exile to Patmos around 90 A.D., since Domitian reigned from 81 A.D. until 96 A.D. But you see, they remind me when they change things. I mean, everything I had ever read until I did this research said that John wrote around 90 to 95 A.D. But they've hotly contested that because it has to be changed to fit their eschatology. It reminds me of a fellow from Florida who came up to Illinois and preached a meeting for us one time. And he had heard that I'd preached a sermon on salvation is of the Lord at the ABA. And he jumped on me before we got out of the airport parking lot. And I picked him up and we argued all week, sometimes till 4 a.m, about the doctrines of grace. And long toward the end of the week, we were at a restaurant eating one night, and he brought it up again, and we got into a pretty good discussion. Finally, my wife said, "Look, everybody in here is listening to y'all." She said, "If y'all don't quieten down, I'm going to the car." So we quietened down, so we started home. And this brother, and I may have told this here before, but this brother said, "Brother Wayne, I just can't believe that before a child was ever born." He said, "You take this little child," and I've had them take a lot of those little children and set them in those imaginary seats. And he said, "Sit that little child in this chair," and said, "According to what you believe, before the foundation of the world, it was already determined where he would spend eternity." I said, "Yeah." But I said, "When I picked you up at the airport, before we got very far from the airport, I asked you if you believe that God knows everything. And I said, you said yes. I said, now I want to know, according to your doctrine, before the foundation of the world, God knew that that little child sitting in that chair would either repent and believe or reject Christ and go to hell. I said, I want to ask you, can that little child do different to what God knew it would do?" He ripped his towel and he said, "I'm not going to answer that." He said, "When I came up here, I believe God knew everything." He said, "I'm beginning to wonder." I said, "So you're going to make God a dummy to suit your theology. I believe God knew everything, but now I'm beginning to question that because it doesn't suit my theology." All down through our history, the Lord's church's history, everything that I had ever read until I did this research had said that John wrote the book of Revelation around 90 or 95 A.D. And then I find that that cannot be because of all these things that took place allegedly in 70 A.D. Well, I'm not convinced that the preterist is right. We've talked, and I have an open mind about fellowship with brethren, but I feel real uncomfortable around preterists. I just think they've gone too far. So you say, "Well, what is a futurist?" Well, I'll give you some of the things that a futurist believes. A futurist believes the prophecies of the second coming of Christ found in the New Testament, and especially in the book of Revelation, are yet future. A futurist believes that the declarations of Jesus during His personal ministry, when He said things like, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We believe that's yet future. That it will surely come, and that it will literally come, but it's yet future. A futurist believes the declaration of Paul found in 1 Corinthians 15. When he said in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." That sounds real literal to me, brethren. "This mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." A futurist believes the declaration of Paul found in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians that I read a little bit ago. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Let me see if I've got the right. "The voice of the archangel and the trumpet."